Hey everyone, Steve here. Today we have an interview with Ian Fisher, the Director of Operations and Project Management and Agile Instructor with PM ProLearn. I first met Ian in September of 2019 when he came to Huntsville as my PMP bootcamp instructor. Here's some context. I failed the PMP exam in December of 2018. I took the IVMF PMP training, which was all online, slide-based training. It was a good initial resource, but not very conducive to my learning style. I don't blame the IVMF resource for my test failure. I didn't study enough, and I didn't take the test seriously enough. But I needed a different approach. Enter PM ProLearn. I was able to schedule a PMP bootcamp, and we'll cover that process a little bit in today's interview with Ian, as well as in a later interview with ProLearn's Director of BD, Josh Atkinson. How did I benefit from this? Well, ultimately, I passed my PMP exam in December of 2019. Ian was a fantastic instructor, was able to connect with the students and explain the content in a way that just made perfect sense. We exchanged countless emails during the test prep process, and he spent 45 minutes on the phone with me a few days prior to the exam. Of the 13 students that were in my boot camp, 7 have taken the test and 7 have passed. While on a break at the boot camp, I asked Ian if he would want to come on Beyond the Uniform. Not only did he accept, but he offered to graciously donate to support our cause. Enjoy the interview today. I think you'll love it.
Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Asiri, and our mission is to support the military community in their civilian career. Today's episode number 347, Marines to PMP Instructor and PM ProLearn.
And so if you think project, you think single, unique thing that we're working on. So the easiest way to say that is, it's like a construction team building a house. That's a project, right? So there's a ton of different things that go into that. There's a bunch of operational work that goes into that. But ultimately, a project is a unique, verifiable product service that results on the back end. A program is where we manage multiple different projects together to streamline resource sharing or for some other organizational need or gain, right? So projects are very similar in nature, so we can use the same types of templates for project schedules and things like that. So if a project is a house, a program is a neighborhood.
Here are the top two reasons to listen to today's episode. One, project, program, and portfolio management. At Beyond the Uniform, we often hear questions about these three career paths, and Ian goes into great detail about what these fields are, how they relate to one's military background, and how to succeed in these career paths. Two, certifications. Great advice about education, certifications, and how to make oneself appealing to a hiring manager. Beyond the Uniform has over 350 podcast episodes and 20 videos with America's top veterans, including Jocko Willink, the former CEO of Pepsi, NFL players, and more. They are all for free at beyondtheuniform.org. If you benefit from Beyond the Uniform and would like to help get this in front of more members of the military, please consider donating at beyondtheuniform.org/donate. You can also text the words support BTU to 33777. Our cost of production is $300 per month. We are an all-volunteer team, and we could use your financial support. That's at beyondtheuniform.org/donate or texting support BTU to 33777. With that, let's dive into my conversation with Ian. Well, joining me today in Yoakum, Texas, on a 35-acre ranch surrounded by family is my new friend, Charles Ian Fisher. Charles, or Ian, welcome to Beyond the Uniform.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
So for listeners, here's the very, very brief bio. We'll get into more details. But Ian is a director of operations at PM ProLearn. We'll talk a lot about that company. He served for over 20 years in the Marine Corps and since then has worked as both an IT consultant as well as an assistant director of professional services at Time Clock Plus, which is a data management company. Let's start off with the real important question, though. Your name is Charles, but you want me to call you Ian. I feel like you're getting some special treatment here. What's going on with the double identity?
It's honestly not as interesting as it sounds. There was a time when I was younger and a lot dumber that I did a lot of things under the name Charles that are best left forgotten or in the past. So for lack of a better way to put it, just like companies do, I kind of rebranded myself as Ian, and I kind of went from there. So My family still calls me Charles. Most of them refuse to call me Ian, which is, you know, that's fine. But everybody who's met me in the last probably 15 to 18 years has known me as Ian. So that's awesome. A cooler name. And Charles is just too pompous and too formal.
Now I just want to start Googling and looking up Charles and seeing what mischief you got into, what I can see. talk to us about the Marine Corps. You stayed in for 20 years. Walk us through what that transition was like when you decided to leave the Marine Corps and what the those first couple job searches were like.
It was, for lack of a better way to put it, it probably more scary than direct combat. No kidding, right? Because you spend 20 years, you know, learning how to be a military member, how to be a Marine. They spend, you know, 13 weeks in Marine Corps boot camp, and then, you know, your training, your whole first year is essentially prepping to become a Marine and learn what makes you successful. And then you spend an entire career doing some really cool things and some not so cool things. And then all of a sudden they go, okay, it's time, you know, pasture's that way. It's greener over there. Go see what's going on. And first you're like, yeah, no more Marine Corps, no more military. I don't have to do anything like this anymore. And you go, crap, who am I? Right. And that was the hardest part, is figuring out, just kind of who I was and what I wanted to do. A lot of people, you know, chase the money. They say, well, I got to go for a six-figure salary and I got to replace the income I've got now. And, you know, I don't know what I can do because of VA and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I don't know what my percentage is going to be. So there's a lot of just constant unknowns that you work through, even to the point of, you know, where do I live? You know, as you mentioned, I live down here surrounded by family. But when I retired, I was in Idaho, you know, and I had people offering me jobs up there saying, hey, you know, stick around up here. I was very heavily involved in the Toys for Tots campaign in Idaho, which I think is a phenomenal charity. And it was just a blast to do. But I was the media guy. And I started meeting a lot of people. I was on TV. I was on the radio. And my face was on a billboard one year, which was wholly more embarrassing than you would think. People are like, that's so cool. No, it's ridiculously embarrassing to be sitting at a stoplight and see your stupid face on a billboard looking at you going, give me some toys. But it was...
You're like the anti-Santa Claus. You're like, give me toys.
Grr. Standing there with a K-bar and me painted up. It was, you know, where do I even want to live? What do I want to drop? And I made my wife a promise that she followed me around for my last 10 years of my Marine Corps career after we got married, and she left the Navy. So I committed to her that we would come back to family. When I got here, though, I probably should have looked a little bit more about the job market in the area, because after 20 years as a Marine, your body's just, it's not what it was when you were first starting out, right? It's not even what it was after 4 or 5 years. And I could drive a truck, I could get a job in oil field, I could, you know, I could work as an assistant manager for, you know, Dollar General or HEB, which, you know, all sounds super glamorous and everything, but it wasn't where I wanted to be. And a buddy of mine who works for Schindler Elevator Corporation, phenomenal dude named Marcus, he's like, man, you should look into project management. He goes, it's what you've been doing for like the last 4 years here at the Reserve Center, because I was on independent duty staff up there. And I was like, what's project management? And he goes, check it out. So I started doing some Google searches and self-learning on what is project management, how is it used in the civilian world, what's different between the civilian world and the military world. And there wasn't a lot of information to really help me figure out how to take all of my military experience, where you're planning billions of dollars worth of equipment and people moving all over the world into, you know, even mom and pop's grocery store, and how to open a new store or revitalize the current store. But it's absolutely transferable, right? So as I talked to him and I researched more, I just realized that, you know, project management is where I wanted to be, because it's solving other people's problems, giving business value out. Everything has purpose and meaning. It's a fun career. So
let's start there, actually. So for someone who's never heard of project management, I love the journey you went through. Could you maybe give them the high level of what this career path is like and how it might relate to what they did in the military?
Sure. So one of the big things that you have to remember is, especially for people like me who retired, there has got to be a certain level of of humbleness when you walk away. You know, you have run multi-billion dollar projects. You've been in charge of defense and infrastructure projects that kept us and the world safe and in a better place. And now you're walking away thinking, I'm moving in the military. Everybody's going to want to hire me. I got all this experience. The problem is no one knows what that experience really is. And I walked out and started interviewing, and people were like, hey, you're in the military. That's great. You got good leadership skills, but you've never run a project. And I'm like, but that's not true. I've run this project. And it was like, yeah, but that's military projects. So I really had to find a way, as everyone really does, to turn that military experience into something that was relatable for the civilian sector. Changing jargon, changing acronyms, changing the militaryisms, and finding the civilian equivalent of it. And that's probably the biggest struggle.
Could you give an example? I know it's a little while ago, but how would you, if you were like networking or interviewing, could you give us like a little soundbite of how you'd explain what you did as project management?
Sure. So you take, for instance, we ran an exercise in South Korea that was active reserve, active forces, reserve forces, Korean multinational forces. And it's basically integrating all of that stuff together to find out what would happen, break glass in case of emergency, if North Korea invaded South Korea or South Korea was overrun by anybody. Let's not put labels on it, right? And so there's giant proof of concept exercise. So take this 14-month long, huge military planning effort, very short executions, a proof of concept, and explain that to a civilian hiring manager. And really what it boils down to is using isms, right? The civilian isms that go along with it, right? So instead of a multi-million dollar defense and infrastructure project, it becomes a proof of concept project, right? So you take the military piece away from it and they say, okay, what was this proof of concept project about? Well, we actually, the theory was that X, Y, and Z would be able to satisfy logistically and personnel-wise a theater of a business, of a specific geographical region of a business, for rapid response to market demand. Same thing, right? That's all I'm doing. It's a market demand. That's the only reason we surge troops into those places, right? It's market demand. Now, the market is a whole lot more animalistic than a business environment generally would be, but essentially, and it's not tap dancing, it's not BSing, it's just understanding that when you say yut yut hoorah kill, they're like, huh, what just happened? But if you say, you know, supply chain management, personnel movement, rapid facility creation and employment, those are terms that the civilian sector understands because every business does that. Rapidly moving into a sector, high volume of whatever, information campaigns, marketing campaigns, that's really what that whole exercise was about in the civilian terms. So
that's awesome. What about, give us the, we'll go into a lot more specificity, but give us the high level on PM ProLearn. How did you get hooked up with them? What do they do? How would you explain who they are to listeners?
Shameless plug time, part one, right? I was working as a project manager. Actually, I was working as an assistant director. I had gotten promoted from project manager relatively quickly in my last company. And I very much enjoyed my team. I enjoyed what I was doing. I just didn't necessarily enjoy where I was doing it at. And I think that's something that a lot of people kind of run into is, I think the statistic is, you know, over 50% of people that are veterans leave their first job after 18 to 24 months. So I was kind of in that, right on that crux. I'm a statistic now, right? At about 18 months, I thought to myself, self, this isn't really where I want to be. I was working 60 and 70 hour weeks. I was salaried, so there was no overtime. But the purpose for me that I had in the military to work 60, 70 plus hours a week was not the same purpose that I had to make someone else money. So I decided it was time to move on. And I knew the best way to do that, to make myself more competitive, was to go get certified. So I went through a veteran program that many people try. It's free. It's held through Syracuse University. And fantastic program, but it wasn't a good learning style for me because it's voice over PowerPoint. When I reached out to my faculty advisor, he's like, yeah, I'm not a PM. I've never taken the course. I don't really know how to help you here. And I was just like, oh, good Lord. Slam my head against the wall, right? So I reached out, convinced my wife to let me attend basically a boot camp to get ready to go, to really put, because I had all this knowledge, but I had no way to piece it all together and make it make sense. Just a bunch of stuff. So I found PM ProLearn, and I paid for an evening webinar that was going to last 5 total weeks, 3 nights a week, 4 hours a night. So basically, awesome. You work for 12 hours, you come home, you get abused by PMP knowledge for 4 hours, 3 nights a week. But when you're done, you've got everything you need to succeed and pass the exam. So it was the first night of class. I had just gotten my PMBOK, the body of knowledge, from the mail, and I got it opened up, and we go on our first break, and we come back, and Tim, the owner and CEO, he says, you know, I really wanted to say, you know, thank you. We've got a Purple Heart veteran in the class. And one of the things that we are really proud of is that Purple Heart veterans, when they have to pay out of pocket, it's free. And I was like, that's really, I paid, right? Not knowing he's talking about somebody else, right? So I come off of mute during the class, and I'm like, Tim, just as a quick aside, not looking for, you know, any kind of, you know, great job, chuck on the shoulder. I was like, but I'm a Purple Heart veteran too. And he's like, really? And I'm like, yeah. He goes, well, you didn't indicate that on the website. I was like, no, I didn't see the, I said, I looked in to see the small print now. I said, but I didn't see it then. He goes, well, okay, hold on. And he puts us back on another 5 minute break. He comes back and he goes, we just processed your refund. I was just like, what?
That's awesome.
I was like, now that's integrity. You just don't see in business anymore. Right? Like, well, you missed the fine print. Ah, we win. And I was like, I can throw my hat in the ring with this guy. So after I got done, I took my exam, and he was the first person, don't tell my wife, even though I know she's going to listen to this, he was the first person I told that I had passed the exam on the way back from the exam center. And we kind of celebrated together, and he's just like, hey, man, that's really cool. You know, you really did a really good job in class. You should come work for PM ProLearn. And I was like, I mean, like, and do what? He's like, you'd be a training consultant. You can help us set up classes, and, you know, you've got your PMP. You're a really smart dude. I engage with you a lot. Personality works for, you know, doing something like this, and maybe every once in a while you can teach. And I was like, okay, yeah, that sounds cool. So I signed on with the idea that I was going to be a training consultant and help them set up classes, which, by the way, I phenomenally sucked at. Right. As I set up exactly 0 classes for him. It was great. I'm sure he really felt the benefit of our relationship there. But I was constantly on LinkedIn talking to people, talking about how I had gotten my success, helping kind of mini mentor people and pushing as many people towards PM ProLearn as I possibly could if they were interested. Because I'm not a high pressure sales kind of guy. I like, how can I help? And individually, it's easier for me than to go do that. But continuing to go here, because I'm just stream of consciousness, right? A couple of months later, Tim and Josh reached out to me and said, hey, man, we're getting really busy, more volume than Tim can handle. It's killing him. Why don't you join the team as an instructor? And I was like, dude, you're asking me to give up a stable income that I know is coming on the 1st and the 15th of every month, right? Not exactly, but, you know, kind of like military-like, and do this. I don't really know that, you know, it's a good idea that I can do it. And financially, it was not a smart idea, because we were living high in the hog. And my wife just looked at me, she goes, we will never turn down another opportunity because of finances ever again. And we jumped on the Dave Ramsey plan, and within months we were just clicking. And Tim reached back out again, and he goes, hey, man, I wanted to come see if you're still interested. We're getting even more busy now. And I'm like, you know what? I'm in. Let's do this. Let's help people, you know, let's help veterans. Let's get some PMPs, you know, running around the world. And I joined. I was an instructor. Then I was a lead instructor. And then I was the director of operations, all within a relatively short time frame, just because I felt passionate about what I was doing again. I felt like I had real purpose, and phenomenally thankful that Tim and Josh came back a second time and said, hey, man, come join the team. You'll be a better place. You'll like it. Let's do this. So,
what's, just out of curiosity, what's your life look like as an instructor? And I'm just kind of curious, what's the day look like?
Insane. So it's funny too, because as my wife reminds me all the time, that I actually am responsible for the instructor assignments as the director of operations. But last year, I was teaching classes for almost literally half the year. I was on the road for 22 weeks, and I taught for 25 total weeks, either from home or on the road. So 50% travel, on a plane Sunday afternoon, hopefully on a plane Friday night to come back. If it was somewhere like, taught in Korea, Japan, Okinawa, taught in Germany, taught all over the US in random places. So sometimes it's obviously not a short trip. But to be perfectly honest with you, even as much as I'm on the road and as much of a drag as it can be, like for instance, with Steve's class, he's the one that reached out and connected us together, right? And when I taught his class, I was on week 2 of 4 on the road in a row. And it can get exhausting until you get an email that says, hey, just wanted to let you know I passed my PMP. Just wanted to let you know my application got accepted. Just wanted to let you know that was the best class that I've ever been involved in. It was an awesome experience. Thanks for everything you did. All of that, and then seeing people succeed, is really the thing that just, it fills my bucket. So I luckily have found a job that fills not only the financial needs, but also my passion at the same time, which is amazing.
That's awesome. Well, take us through, from what I understand loosely, there's project and there's program and there's portfolio. Could you help us understand like what are those different pieces?
Sure. So they're all very, very interrelated to each other. And it's based on kind of the level of work that's being done. So if you think project, you think single unique thing that we're working on. So the easiest way to say that is it's like a construction team building a house. That's a project, right? So there's a ton of different things that go into that. There's a bunch of operational work that goes into that. But ultimately, a project is a unique, verifiable product service that results on the back end. A program is where we manage multiple different projects together to streamline resource sharing or for some other organizational need or gain, right? So projects are very similar in nature, so we can use the same types of templates for project schedules and things like that. So if a project is a house, a program is a neighborhood. And then a portfolio is very loosely everything that an organization is linking together for a strategic outcome, right? So think of all the different product lines they've got that are similar that want to be managed together because they have one person who's an expert in those types of things. Or maybe there's, 10 different things that are strategic internal stuff, and that's a portfolio. And then there's stuff that's customer facing, and that's another portfolio. So if a project is a house and a program is a neighborhood, then a portfolio would be essentially everything that you're doing in the city, all the different types of work that you might be doing inside of the city.
And I've heard a couple terms. I've heard agile. I've heard waterfall. What are those methodologies?
Two very distinct things. So waterfall is what most people know. It's been around the longest. It is essentially understand what you need. Take building the house, for example. Understand what you need, diving deep into the requirements, figuring out where you want certain walls at, where you want electrical switches, so on and so forth, gathering all that stuff early on up front, and then making a plan to satisfy all that, and then executing it and handing everything over at the very end. Whereas agile is, as the name would imply, it's much more agile. Rather than trying to plan everything up front, Agile takes the look and says, there's so much stuff that we couldn't possibly know up front, it would be irresponsible to try and detail plan. So instead, what they do is they do short bursts of work. And you can hear, so Agile is terms like Scrum, Kanban, Scrumban, Lean Product Development. Those types of things are all Agile methodologies, and it's designed for a different purpose. So in Waterfall, what we're really trying to do is we're trying to control the scope or control the requirements that a customer or a client has given us so that we can control how long it's going to take and how much money it's going to cost to do it. Whereas in Agile says we're not worried so much about everything that you want us to do. We want to know in what order you want us to do it. Where do you find the greatest value? And it allows the agile team to constantly shift focus, right? And accept change as a normal course of business. And the customer could come back and say, I love what you guys did here, and we were going to do that next, but we see an opening over there to go do this. So let's take care of that and do that first. And everything that you had planned on doing next might get shifted or never even done at all. Military construct, it's very similar to operational planning, right? So you've got a team of people that they spend a long time, months sometimes, putting together this massive plan. That's predictive or waterfall project management, where they come together and say, okay, where do we need to go? What kind of support do we need? Ammo, beans, bullets, bombs, band-aids, all that types of stuff. And then it transitions very quickly outside of those, you know, Marine Corps planning process, joint planning process type methodologies. And after you write the order and you hand it over to the unit, it very quickly becomes agile, right? Imagine what would happen to an organization that's in Afghanistan or Iraq or anywhere else that was stuck to a plan and couldn't change, right? And they're like, no, we got to go that way. Yeah, but we're getting shot at from that. Yeah, that's right. We're going that way because that's what the plan says. We got to follow the plan. Agile is essentially taking the ability for the environment to allow you to shift focus where necessary and create the biggest value, or even sometimes defer risk, right? So that's really the difference between the two.
One of the reasons I was excited to have you on is I feel like project and program management is a big theme that we hear from veterans. And it seems like many veterans assume they can be an operations or a project or program manager. First of all, do you think that's true? And second of all, like, how applicable is a typical military experience to being a PM in some capacity in the civilian sector?
I think to say that just because I was a senior NCO, staff NCO, junior officer, or even senior officer, that I'm automatically capable of being an operations or project manager is probably a misnomer. You're definitely primed for it. And you do a lot of stuff as a platoon sergeant, platoon commander, OPSO, XO, that you would do as an operations manager or project manager. Not everything is directly translatable, but most of the stuff that you do in the military is project-based, right? Let's take a deployment, for example. That's the world's easiest project to describe, right? And if you've been involved in planning deployments, or if you've been involved in annual services for maintenance and things like that, those are absolutely projects. And it's a great primer. Your military experience is a great primer to move into that. But there is civilian project management goes to a different level than most military folks are ready for, because most people in the military think about what's the ultimate goal, what do I got to do, and they think about the personnel side, and they think about how do I get it done on time. But sadly, none of us think about the money aspect of it. Right? None of us think about how much this thing is costing, how to be a good steward with the taxpayer's money or your customer, right? So that's a steep learning curve for a lot of people when they get out. But it absolutely is relatable and transferable from moving from the military into a project or operations management job without question, because there's a lot of similarities. There's just a slight growing pains when you're trying to translate different aspects or things that you never had to think about. Most of us never deal with contracts, as another example, in the military, right? Somebody else deals with that. Normally it's the S4 or the contracting officer or somebody on the base that says, this is your vendor. And you go, oh, okay, cool. In civilian project management, there's another level, another dimension of things that you have. You don't necessarily have all the materials that you need. You have to leave the project or sometimes the organization to go get those things. That's another learning curve, but that's not to scare people. It's just to say, hey, expectations, yes, you can very quickly move from one to the other with minimal problems, but there is a certain growing pains that you have to go through to really be effective in both.
Do you think that veterans need, like, or how important is PMP or ACP?
That's a really good question. So you don't need any certification, right? You don't need any degree. Some people are just, they're really good at stuff, right? I don't have a degree in being the director of operations for PM ProLearn, but I'm able to manage those things, right? I've met people who have never taken a single sales class that can go out and just crush sales, right? Just because they know how to network or because they're personable or whatever. I will tell you without question though, certification is a phenomenal way to translate your military experience and prove it to the civilian sector. For instance, if I were to leave the military without a certification like PMP or ACP and go try and get a project manager job, I am forced to prove that I know what I'm talking about when it comes to projects, right? That's the pain I went through. And they're like, well, tell me about this and tell me about that and describe this project. And I had to find a way to civilianize it. If you have those additional letters behind your name, it's not an immediate transfer, but it's easier because number one, you already speak the business language. That's what those two certifications really do, is they say that this is the language that you need to understand to survive in these worlds. But it's also, it says, I understand how to run projects and complete them successfully. So is it necessary? No. Does it make your life a lot easier? Oh, hell yes. Right. And not on top of that, you know, PMI just recently, Project Management Institute just recently released their Pulse of the Profession survey. And they just proved yet again in the United States that purely because you are certified as a PMP rather than a non-certified PMP or PM, you have a much higher earning potential. The Pulse of the Profession report came out and said that I think it's 25% or 24% increase in your salary potential just because you have the certification. I mean, why wouldn't you, right? I will say this though, and this is just kind of a caveat. I think a lot of us, me particularly for sure, because I waited until after I got out and I had to pay out of pocket for all of it. Well, kind of, right? Because Tim did refund it. But I would have had to pay out of pocket. If you wait until your TRS or your retirement seminar or whatever else to go get this certification, you have literally just wasted a ton of ROI. There are so many different funding streams available for active duty members to get it while they're in, continue to gain experience, and also benefit the DOD while they're in, right? Their branch of service. There was a report that was released that basically said that virtually every project that the United States military had run was so completely and hopelessly out of whack and overspending or over time that it was almost like to the point of fraud, waste, and abuse, right? And I can give you a link to that report as well. But essentially, after that, it became Office of Personnel and Management came in and they said, okay, so here's what's going to happen. President Obama even signed in something called the PMIAA, or the Project and Program Management Commission. Hold on, let me make sure I get this right. Project and Program Management Improvement and Accountability Act, which basically said, if you are associated with the federal government at all, you are going to be required to maintain some sort of PMP style training, to the point where even certain GS jobs, you can't hold them anymore unless you have a PMP certification. Because it's that important to understand how to successfully run a project. If you get it now, right, let's say you're in year three of, well, not maybe not year three, maybe eight of 20, or you're in year 12 of 20, and you put those skills to use and you continue to develop those along the way. First of all, taxpayers benefit, and I would greatly appreciate that, right? Because I pay taxes. Number two, your organization will actually set and complete goals more often. And number three, you will be gaining experience that is so easy for you to just throw out a resume real quick on your way out the door and be like, this is the success I found using these skills. And if you can do that, I mean, there's the job interview just became a whole lot easier. They're like, tell me about this really cool project right here. I'm like, yeah, we did this, that, and the other thing. And oh yeah, it was the best. Right. So
that's great. I mean, I love this sense that the certifications provide that credibility where you don't have to re-explain why your background or sell them on why your background's applicable. But I love, you know, the sense I had when you were talking, when I think of finances, you know, you learn the power of compounding interest, that if you put away, what, you know, a dollar when you're 20 versus $100 when you're 40, like the interest makes such a big difference. And I hear that compounding power with what you're talking about with getting these certifications while you're in the military. And I love that aspect where it's like the military and the population benefits from that skill set. But it seems like you get this framework to view what you're doing. And not only can you do it better, but you're able to explain it to a civilian hiring manager because that's the framework you're using to do the project itself. That's a really great plug to do this sort of certification earlier because it can benefit and that benefit can compound.
Yeah, absolutely. And getting linked in with I shouldn't say LinkedIn, getting connected with the right training provider. And I'm not saying that PM ProLearn is the right training provider, even though we are. If you can't employ these things on a daily basis, and the only thing it's doing is dropping additional letters behind your name, that's irresponsible, right? It really honestly is. It's just spending money to get letters behind your name, and it devalues the entire aspect or understanding of it. And being able to employ those things on a daily basis, like last week, Tim flew to Japan to teach at Misawa Air Base, and while he was there, instead of using some cardstock, you know, construction project or whatever else, he said, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to use your projects all week long. And so really, really cool projects like base renovation projects, coronavirus reaction methods if it comes to Japan, right? Those types of things. And they use those all week long. And they were like, man, we're really getting how we can use this stuff on a daily basis. That's our real goal, right? You having a certification, being ready to transition to the civilian sector and find meaningful and powerful employment, absolutely. But being able to employ these skills on a daily basis, that's what really truly matters.
I love that too from your story, because it sounds like, you know, the first route you went down, it was that dry PowerPoint with narration, which is hard for me to relate to as well. And I love the sense of taking the curriculum and tailoring it to real world situations that are relevant. That's just such a more efficient way to learn. And I want to take a deeper dive into that. Maybe let's start with, for listeners who want to go down this path, what advice do you have for them about how to pay for this sort of training?
So there are a ton of funding streams that are open and available. And as a matter of fact, some new ones coming open even now. So every military service has a COOL or credentialing, credentialing opportunities online program. Some programs are much more robust than others. So for instance, the Air Force has Air Force COOL, and they will pay for the training and the certification test together, right? As a group offering, and say, we'll pay for everything just to get you going. Army Credentialing Assistance just got released Army-wide January of 2020, this year. And they said, hey, we're willing to pay for all of it as well. And you're allowed to use up to this much per year to go get professional certifications rather than to go after a degree. And you can use it in conjunction with TA, Air Force COOL, the same thing. The Navy and the Marine Corps are both rolled under something called Navy COOL. They are separate from each other. There's Navy COOL and there's Marine Corps COOL. But both of those only pay for the exam. So the best opportunity or option for most of those people is to try and find a way to get the unit to fund it. Using training dollars from something. If you do have to pay out of pocket, we have multiple different ways that we can do it. We can do a month-to-month self-paced thing. With the nice part about it is yes, there's videos, yes, there's little quizlets and all that types of stuff. But you also have instructor reach back, right? Which is exceptionally important. You can contact us all the time. We have a free veteran 30-day, for lack of a better way to put it, trial program that we've had phenomenal success with. Having people take that and never pay us a dollar, which we're totally okay with, and go and get their PMP certification, which is, I mean, when you think about it, that's probably one of the really cool parts about the company that I think I love the most is before we made a dollar on this, before Tim got so busy and had to pull me on board, they were giving it away for free. And there's it's like, here you go. This is, and Tim just kind of literally created the curriculum from his kitchen table on his computer after coming home from work as a civilian project manager at another company, just clacking out the curriculum and then recorded videos. And I've got this free thing and people are using it. And it's been amazing. As a matter of fact, one of our instructors actually used it and was like, yeah, this was the thing. Outside of that, if you are a veteran or a veteran family member that is paying out of pocket, we do also give pretty deep discounts. If you're, we actually discount down to 40% of the total cost, which is a big impact. You know, and we're very proud to be able to do that and happy to do that. And then if you're not associated with the military, we do offer also 35% off for early bird registration. So if you do have to pay out of pocket, which is obviously going to be the last resort, we'll help out as much as we possibly can. We can't give it away for free because we do have to pay for the exam and all the other things that go along with it. But try and use the other additional funding streams first. COOL programs, credentialing assistance, unit funding, and then if needed, come down and we'll give you a nice deep discount to make it worth your effort.
What else would you want them to know about this process, whether it's what the curriculum looks like, or I want to give you room to just kind of share about the resources that you're offering.
One of the things that we pride ourselves on is that we care as much as we do. We've actually had people who came and used our free program, and after unsuccessfully completing several other curricula along the way, one person even said, you know, I tried six other places before here, and every time I called somebody or reached out via email, it was, oh, buy this or buy this or buy this. And we were like, no, here's this 30-day free thing. Go try that. And if you like it, you know, maybe we'll talk about maybe what happens after that, but this should be enough for you, for everything that you need to wrap it up in a nice night tight little ball. And he's like, you guys are just different. Like completely different. Like everybody else is trying to sell me something. You're like, here, try this free thing. We don't care. What we want is we want for the field of project management to be successful. We want you to be successful. We want your organization to be successful, because it's selfish, right? It's super selfish. We get such great feelings when our students come back and say, oh my God, I passed the exam. Or, hey, I was able to use this in my day-to-day job. Just like you talked about in your class, you know, your examples were perfect, and I was able to put those things into practice right away. Those are the things that drive us. And the reason that I think we've been so successful is because we've maintained that. We've stayed true to that as much as possible. If we have a student who says, hey, you know, you guys don't have a resource like this, I'm like, hold on a second, and we'll go build it, right? And in our learning management system, we realize that adult learners are different, all of adult learners are different, right? Some people are tactile. They got to put their fingers on it. They got to touch it. And when you're talking about something like project management, it's really hard to do, because there's a lot of stuff that we talk about in there that's theoretical or that you can't tangibly hold. So we created some tools in there where, you know, I talk during a video and you click through the PowerPoint with me, because it gives a tactile aspect to it, right? Helps you learn. We do auditory stuff. We do visual stuff. We do memorization stuff, flashcards, and all kinds of different, anything that we can do to make sure that when you leave our course, you've got everything you need to walk in on test day and smoke check the exam. And then also, added benefit, use these things in your real day-to-day job. So.
And I'm also, you know, in addition to that, what other resources would you recommend? Are there books or podcasts or blogs or anything like that that you would encourage listeners to check out?
Shameless plug time part two. You ready? Beyond the Uniform podcast is probably the best one you can get after, right?
Oh, that you're amazing. Thank you.
So to be honest with you, I have very much enjoyed listening to your podcast for a while now, and really the diversity of thought and the different ways, the actionable things that you can take away from it is really cool. But that's, all jokes aside, it is a great way to hear someone else talk about, right? Like I'm here right now talking to you about project management, and other people would talk to you about communications or the oil field or energy services and things like that that you've had in your program. Even down to, you know, simplistic things like meditation, it gives you a chance to go, okay, this is how other people think about it. Let me put myself in that position. Let me imagine myself in that position and decide, is that for me? You can take that a step further, and you can go to StrengthsFinder 2.0 is a great way to deal with that. And I can shoot you a link to that book as well. It's a great book. Start with Why, Simon Sinek. Pretty much anything he says is gold, right? But really finding out the reason behind what you want to do, and then going from there is a phenomenal way. And then if you're talking about the field of project management, there's books out there. There's tons of, I mean, endless amounts of books that you can study or read to think about. I would highly not encourage you to go after the PMBOK, because while it is a phenomenal resource for studying, it's not written in any kind of sexy way that makes you just want to go, man, I can't wait to see what's on the next page. Most of the time you're like, oh my God. And I actually saw a student in a class and had like a water stain on the page. And I asked him, I said, is that tears from the pain of reading this, or is that drool from when you fell asleep? Right? Because the pages are gray and the words are not at all entertaining and fun to listen to. So, but a lot of your folks that listen to your podcast are probably going to be looking for other podcasts. So, there's things like 5 Minute PM podcast, by Ricardo Vargas. Very smart, very instructional. There's the PM podcast. There's People and Projects podcast. Really, really fun stuff to listen to. Some of it can get a little high level. So there's a language barrier to some of it, but absolutely not a problem. The other thing is if it's something you think that you might be interested in or want to do, connect with me on LinkedIn. I have no problem, you know, talking to people at any time of the day or night about project management. I find it's my passion, right? I enjoy it. And putting those puzzles together is something that's fun. So if you're interested in it, connect with me on LinkedIn and we can talk. I am, as lovingly as I can put it, a LinkedIn whore. I don't care who I connect with, as long as I can provide you value or vice versa, right? That's really what it boils down to is creating those LinkedIn networks of like-minded people, and even non-like-minded people is exceptionally important. So come out and ask me questions there. Shoot me email. Go and look on our website. Ask questions. We have no problem answering any question you've got, and we won't charge you a cent for it. We'll just answer it because we're nice people.
I love that. I love that sense of just delivering massive value, and I think that good things come from that, and I love your approach and your company's approach on that. I wanted to keep the last 4 or 5 minutes here to just give you room to, you know, we covered a lot of ground, but I'm sure there's things we didn't talk about. What else do you want listeners to know about PM, about certification, about PM ProLearn, about any of these things that we haven't covered so far?
I think probably the most important thing to remember is, as fun as project management is, you have to do it in the right place. You have to do it for the right reasons. If you're chasing a six-figure salary, maybe that's what you're into, right? Maybe that's the thing you think is going to drive you. I will tell you that money is a great motivator, but it's not the thing that fills you up. If it did, we wouldn't have billionaires, because eventually someone would say, that's enough money, right? At the same time, you have to know that money is a necessary component, right? So adding those certifications in on top to create higher earning power for you is exceptionally important, right? Because if the place you're working for has value, if the thing you're doing has value, and you're getting compensated for that, you can go to work every day feeling great instead of, I will be honest with you, there were times where it was like somebody stuck a pack of straws inside of me and just sucked the life out of me on my way to work. I just got there, it was like, another day at the office, you know, that nobody wants to feel like that when they go to work. There are days like that no matter where you work. But if that becomes the trend, it's not the best way to approach it. So finding out that project management is for you is a good thing. But finding out why it's good for you is probably more important. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, unless you're an entrepreneur and you're selling your project management capabilities as a consulting service, your job is to make other people money. And if that doesn't sit with you, or the way that they make the money doesn't sit with you, it's time to go look for employment elsewhere.
So I love that. And I think that like when you were talking about travel, I think that some people will get into this mindset, like, I don't want to travel, but you know, it's very clear how much you enjoy the work and the impact of the work you're having. And I feel like people discount that side of the equation. And there's plenty of people I know who set up constraints and get all of those boxes checked and are miserable. You know, they work close to home, or they do all these things and then they just hate what they're doing. And so I love this aspect that you're bringing in your own life of really enjoying both the work, the people you work with, the mission you work around, and then the impact it's having on people's lives. And it's really clear how much that energizes you.
Oh yeah. Our team is they keep me accountable on a constant basis, right? I'm a high energy person. I don't like to sitting down for this long is actually causing me problems right now. Not really, but when I see our support team, like, just reach out and be like, how can I help in any way? It creates this level of accountability of, this is why I do what I do. And if they're going to work that hard, I'm going to work that hard because I want to honor how hard they're working and I want to thank them. Right. And again, it's not a financial compensation. It's the same mindset that you had during your entire military career. The person to the left and the right of me are sweating and breathing heavy and bleeding, and they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. And I'm standing here with my feet up. I'm a jackass. Right. And you just charge in. So that's been a very, welcome piece is the community and the culture that our team brings is also exceptionally energizing. So actually look for that too. So appreciate that point.
Of course. Well, thank you, Ian, for sharing your story today. Thank you for the work you're doing and for supporting Beyond the Uniform. And for listeners at beyondtheuniform.org, we'll have show notes. We're going to have the books and podcasts you recommended. I love this thought on the podcast too. I know for people who are not familiar with this field, it might be diving in the deep end, but I think there's a value. And if you're listening to like the PM podcast or these other ones, hearing the buzzwords, hearing the terminology, hearing these things, it's a great way through osmosis to start to get the lingo and could really accelerate that. So we'll have all those resources in the show notes at beyonduniform.org. And yeah, thanks again for joining us,
Ian. Thanks, Justin. It's been awesome. Appreciate it.
Beyond the Uniform is written and produced by me, Justin Nasiri, with help from our Chief of Staff, Steve Bain, and our editor, Kathleen Dillon. We are an all-volunteer organization and would greatly appreciate your help in any of the following ways. First, spread the word. Beyond the Uniform has over 330 podcast episodes and 15 on-demand webinars, all offered for free. Help us spread the word on social media, at military bases, or whatever gets this resource in front of more men and women who need it. Positive reviews on iTunes go a long way towards this as well. Second, sponsorship. Beyond the Uniform relies on sponsorship to keep us going. There is so much more we'd like to do, but we don't have nearly the resources to do so. If you know of a company that would like to advertise in any way with Beyond the Uniform, please send them to beyondtheuniform.org. Third, donations. If you're in a financial position to donate, you can find more information on the support section of beyondtheuniform.org. At our website, beyondtheuniform.org, you'll also find 330-plus episodes categorized by industry, functional role, and more. You'll find a link for live events, typically 4 per month. You'll also find both free and for-purchase books that take a deeper dive on topics related to career growth. Thank you for your support as we aim to help members of the military and their families thrive in their post-military career and life.